I bring you grace, peace, and mercy and care from our holy living triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I know we have lots of folks tuning into the radio and the internet streaming just because we've been trying to get the word out that we're going to be live. So I welcome all the folks that are joining us from a distance. We here at St. John's are going through some challenges. We, like the rest of the planet, are working our way through the coronavirus challenge. Beginning with the end of last September, we started something. Remember, it was on Rosh Hashanah, the Old Testament Jewish New Year. We started a challenge to read through all of the Psalms, one a day, using them as prayers. And then as that finished up, we started another challenge, something called the Red Letter Challenge, a book called the Red Letter Challenge that we began as Lent began. It's a 40-day challenge to learn from the words of Jesus. And that is what we are going through right now. The Red Letter Challenge is divided up into five parts, and we're now going into the fourth part. This week's focus will be on giving. Now, most folks probably associate church and giving with pastors going to pry some money out of our wallet. Now, like I said, I know we have a lot of people tuning in because so many other churches are completely closed. So let me say this about money. Your church needs you. And your home congregation needs you. They are, I'm sure, doing all that they can do during this difficult time to provide spiritual care. But churches can only do that with your continued benevolence and generosity. With that said, there is much, much more to giving than money. First and foremost, the most important thing to give is salvation, which comes solely and only through Jesus Christ and Him crucified, dead, and risen from the grave. Give that free message wherever you go and through all that you do. Free. Have you ever gone into a restaurant advertising free dessert? Try to get that dessert without buying something. Of course, you know, you always have to buy a meal first. So there's a catch to things that are free. And living in a world where marketing is everything, we all know free is never really free unless it's worth it, right? And that has always been true, except when Jesus comes along and he says, really, I'm giving it for free. I think the place that really hits home most is in Acts chapter 2. There, Peter is really preaching. He's just tearing into him. He's preaching a real fire and brimstone sermon, and he calls out the people for killing Jesus. The sermon hits them right in the heart. And in verse 37, they say, so what should we do? And Peter's words are mighty and they are clear. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. You got to understand something in the context here, though. You see, these people are living in a world where sacrifices cover sins. The bigger the sin, the bigger the sacrifice that is recovered, that is required. So then here's maybe what's going on in their minds. What would the sacrifice be for killing Jesus, the Holy One, the one promised all the way back to Adam and Eve as the one who is going to come and clean up the mess? What would be the sacrifice for killing the Holy Christ of God? as that understanding washes over their minds, you can almost hear the panic in their voice as they say, "What should we do?" There's never been enough sheep, goats, and cattle to pay for this one. And they're right, aren't they? It goes further than that. There's nothing you can give to God that he needs. He has already made all that is, so here's what God says. I'm coming to you, and I'm going to give to you. He says, simply repent and be baptized. Just believe, and forgiveness comes for free. Just like he said it would. Hundreds of years earlier in the prophet Isaiah, there it's recorded that a time will come when God will say, "Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without price." It won't cost anything. It's all free. The verses, entire chapters before that little excerpt from Isaiah, are a wonderful message of God's salvation, which is fully fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus, who gives us a foretaste of the feast to come in his holy supper, where his body and blood are given to you for your salvation. Again, free. Jesus' words are recorded in John chapter 6. He said, "Truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." We have the Lord's Supper so often, it sometimes becomes mundane, and we forget what's really going on there. In the Lord's Supper, we have a small taste of that day when all the faithful, from Adam to the end, will be seated at a banquet called the Great Wedding Feast of the Lamb, an eternal feast, an eternal life that never ends. That day is often called the last day, a day when really everything truly becomes free. When will that day come? At times like what we're going through across the entire globe right now, people are prone to think it's maybe coming very soon. St. Paul said in Romans 13, "Salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Jesus is the light of the world. That is the light we have to give for free to those living in darkness. As you read through your red letter challenge here, St. John's folks, as we head into this week, you're going to, like always, at the end of each chapter, there's these little mini challenges that will prompt us to give. But how can we give when the whole world is infected with a disease that is forcing us to stay apart? Well, give what you can give. Start with prayer. Ask God to open your hearts and your eyes and your minds to where we really can give, knowing that giving has to begin with prayer. As a human race, across the entire globe, every tribe, language, nation, and tongue needs to be coming before our God and repent. Because whether this crisis is judgment from God or simply the effect of sin on a world separated from God, the results are the same. Fear, trial, and death are coming. Maybe soon, maybe years from now, but they're coming, and they're coming for all of us. So what better time than now to begin to pray, and as the Christian church on earth begin praying together, I'm going to throw an extra challenge into things for you. I want everybody to set an alarm for 5:16. Whether that's a.m. or p.m. or both, I'll leave that up to you. But I want you to set an alarm for 5:16 every day until this malady is mitigated. Why 5:16 of all times to pick? Well, because I'm up then in the morning. I'm an early riser, but I have a better reason. Because of the words that are recorded in James 5:16. There he says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's the word of a holy God who says, my word that goes from my mouth shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. So pray. And if you don't know what to pray, start with a psalm. Some of you did that with us starting back at the end of September, but it would never hurt to start over. The psalms are a great tool to use as just words for prayer. The psalms are the word of God. So pray his words back to him. One psalm a day, starting with the first. Like everything you have, it's what God gave to you first. Everything we give to God came from him, so give to him his word as your prayer. And then I'd encourage you to follow that psalm with four requests: heart, mind, vision, and giving. Heart. Ask God to heal your heart. Make it a place that he would long to dwell, making your body a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then your mind. Ask God to heal your mind, making your every thought only that which would give him pleasure. Not like the days of Noah, when their every thought was evil. Then vision. Ask God to heal your eyes, to allow you to see people through his eyes, giving you compassion, the compassion of Jesus for all people. And then our week's focus is on giving. So giving. Ask God to fill your mouth with the words of comfort and blessing, giving you words like he did to the prophet Jeremiah. Though we should not put God to the test, nor should we cower in fear. Wherever we can be of service to others, let us put our faith into action. This has, in fact, I think I mentioned this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, this has been the heart of the Christian faith from the beginning of the New Testament. In fact, there were some of the ancient church fathers wrote things along the lines of plagues prosper the Christian church, because Christians were the ones during times of plagues who would step up and step out and help the sick. There are many recorded accounts throughout the last 2,000 years of Christians being there first to help. This should not be the first time we fail. Our government has spoken nearly nothing of prayer, and I guess I don't expect them to. It's not entirely their job, though it wouldn't hurt if they mentioned it. But the sad part is, in truth, I haven't heard much about prayer coming from the church, the church on earth. All of the focus and all of the effort has been on human strength and human wisdom. You know, God calls us sheep for a reason. Sheep are about the dumbest things in the world. They're just not bright. And when you take all the wisdom and knowledge and power and strength of the human race through all time and all lands, and put it all up against God, it all comes out sounding like, there's nothing there, right? Not compared to God. Now, God has certainly blessed us with many strengths, but he does from time to time, I think, remind us that human strength can only go so far. Now is the time for the Holy Christian Church on earth to pray. In this week, where we here at St. John's are going to be focused on giving, what greater gift can we give the whole human race on earth than to give the gift of prayer and the power and effect that comes through that prayer? This is my encouragement to you is start by doing that first yourself. Then encourage others to do the same. Spread the word, share the promise, and let us, as a church on earth, call on a holy and living God to save us. Let's do that in Jesus' name. Amen.